Our scripture lesson comes from Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 34. Actually, I'm going to start at 31. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. And then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited Me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you looked after Me. I was in prison, and you came to visit Me." Then the righteous will answer Him, "Lord, when did we do these things for You?" And the King will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for the one of the least of these, My brothers and sisters, you did for Me." Several years ago, it was reported in Sports Illustrated magazine that athletes who intended to run in this or participate in this championship track and field event were asked to fill out a questionnaire before they came. Among the questions were, "What is your hobby?" And also a question was, "What is your ambition?" Well, one Olympic distance runner answered, "My hobby is taking apart my Volkswagen. My ambition is that I can put it back together again." What are our ambitions? Well, they might include a list like this. Our ambition might be to achieve self-esteem, self-respect. Our ambition might be to achieve peace of mind, a sense of worthwhileness and purposefulness, an I'm okay feeling. These are ambitions that we all might have. Sure, we want to get it all together, but oh, how complicated that process seems to have become in our time. In recent years, there have been publications exploding on the marketplace. Popular bookstores have got shelves full of ways that we can get it together. Professionals and amateur psychologists, as well as many other kinds of advocates, have made a hobby of inventing new philosophical or psychological gimmicks for helping people get it all together. The popular psychology shelves in any modern bookstore are full of these how-to-do-it books on getting it all together. And I'm not making a blanket statement against such books. Clearly, some of them have been very helpful to some people. But so many of the books of this kind are being published, each with its own so-called fresh approach to the subject of who we are and what we ought to do, that they tend to be sources of confusion rather than of clarification. Ironically, when you sort out all of this material and sift it all down, most of it seems to end up emphasizing that in order to achieve wholeness of life, we need to care for one another. We need to understand that one cannot get it all together by themselves. And you know, I'm always surprised a little bit when I go to the bookstore and look in the self-help section that I never find the Bible there. I think someday I'm just going to grab one and put it there somewhere, or maybe a couple, make a couple of passes so that people might begin to get the clue. Tons of self-help books fresh off the press, but none with the power of this book, written so many years ago. And this brings us to today's gospel lesson, in which Jesus is saying exactly that. Come, Jesus says, you have my Father's blessings. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the creation of the world. Jesus is saying, in effect, that you have achieved wholeness of life. You have become the kind of unique, beautiful person that the Father will receive in his kingdom. You have discovered the simple secret of how to get it all together. And how is that? Well, Jesus goes on to tell us, you are a caring, sensitive person. When you see hunger, you give food. Where you see thirst, you give drink. Nakedness, you give clothing. Illness, you give comfort. Loneliness, you give friendship. Sickness, you look after. When you see imprisonment, you visit. Do you really believe that? Do you really accept Jesus' vision of the coming kingdom of God? Are you a Christian visionary yourself? Do you accept Jesus' criteria for judging whether or not you are a whole, together person? And therefore are a disciple of Christ, an authentic citizen of the kingdom? Jesus says that it's the kind of deed, the act born of loving concern for one another's needs, on which the Father pronounces his blessing, and for which the Father welcomes us into his kingdom. Now, don't confuse that with works righteousness theology that says we do good in order to get into heaven. No. Rather, because we are assured of our salvation through Jesus Christ and our faith in him, we live out our salvation as caring people and doers of the word. We are made in God's image. God is love. God first loved us that we might love one another. A disciple of Christ is a loving, caring person, a doer of the word. A middle-aged man decided to visit a clinic and undergo a complete health checkup. He told the interviewing doctor that he had always taken good care of himself. He said, I've always seen to it that I have adequate rest. I exercise regularly. I believe in good nutrition, and I take vitamin C, E, and B6 every day. Well, later, after he had been looked over from head to toe by a team of specialists, and while he was waiting for his post-examination interview, he accidentally looked into his file and found where the medical history had been taken down in the first interview. And in the place labeled deformities, the doctor had written health nut. You know, this is the sort of label society pins on a person who accept at the deepest level of their being Jesus' criteria for the reality or for the really together person. Full-fledged fools of Christ, as St. Paul called them, full-fledged fools for Christ are regarded in their own time as nuts, as social freaks, crazy visionaries. And it's not until later, after they are long gone from this earth, that the label nut is removed and the label saint is applied. Yet in today's gospel, Jesus tells us in simple, direct, uncompromising terms that our life's fulfillment depends absolutely on our acceptance of the standards that he has set for us. Feed the hungry. Give drink to the thirsty, visit the prisoners, clothe the naked, etc., etc. It's as simple as that. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, do you love me more than these others sitting around this table? And Jesus says, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, then feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. The kingdom of God should not be looked upon as an unattainable vision or some simplistic ethereal hope that's somewhere down in the future. Rather, the realization of the kingdom of God by faith depends upon each one of us. The kingdom of God depends on each one of us. The kingdom is a reality that is now forming on this earth. God's kingdom is developing within our own lives and within the lives of all the people of the world. And each one of us has the power to make this kingdom more and more real as we share with each other the deep sense of human love that is inherent in all of God's children. No more death, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more grief, no more pain. The old order has passed away. The things which have brought disorder and destruction to humanity are controlled by human beings. Let me say that again. The things which have brought disorder and destruction to humanity are controlled by human beings. Therefore, it is our responsibility as human beings who are Christ's followers to begin to change that old order of creation, to be the doers of the word, to begin to usher in a new order, a new atmosphere of love, which is God's kingdom within us. The kingdom is at hand. It's within us. The establishment on this earth of God's kingdom is the first priority of the followers of Christ. We are called to proclaim God's kingdom in terms of peace and justice and love. The sacred author of the book of Revelation describes the new creation of the kingdom of God on earth, the New Jerusalem. And he describes this in beautiful poetic language. Then I saw new heavens and a new earth. The former heavens and the former earth had passed away, and the sea was no longer. Now, when this was written, the sea was the place where evil came from. But the sea was no longer. I also saw a new Jerusalem, the holy city, beautiful as a bride prepared to meet her husband. And I heard a loud voice. This is God's dwelling among people. We shall dwell with them. They shall be his people, and he shall be their God, who is always, always with them. He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death or mourning, crying out or pain, for the former world has passed away. Not just a new city, but a new atmosphere of life for the human family. When Albert Einstein was on the lecture circuit giving his talks on the theory of relativity, he ordinarily arrived at the lecture with his chauffeur. One day, while on the road, the story goes, Einstein's chauffeur turned around and said to him, "You know, Dr. Einstein, I have listened to your lecture so many times that I've memorized it. In fact, I bet I can give it as well as you can." So Dr. Einstein said, "All right, the place that we're going to lecture tonight doesn't know me by visual, so before we get there, I'll put on your chauffeur cap, you take my portfolio, and you give the lecture." And everything was going along very well. The chauffeur delivered the lecture. He delivered it flawlessly, convincingly. But after the lecture concluded, a professor in the audience rose and asked a complex question involving mathematical equations and formulas. Yeah, oops. But the quick-thinking chauffeur didn't miss a beat when he said, "You know, the solution to that is so, so simple that I'm really surprised that you've asked me to give you the answer. Indeed, it's to prove that it is so simple, I'm going to ask my chauffeur to answer it for you." How do we achieve wholeness of life? How do we get to know who you are and what you ought to do? How to achieve fulfillment as a human being? How to achieve a deep sense of your abilities, your life's worthwhileness and purposefulness? How do we do that? Well, the solution to the problem is so simple that you may not believe me if I tell you. And so I'm going to ask Jesus to answer your question
feed the hungry. Give drink to the thirsty. Love one another as I have loved you, and you will become the uniquely beautiful and fulfilled human being that God made you to be. Know God's love. Oh, and as you do, you will know the joy that comes from sharing that love with all you meet. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.